Duffy.
Hey, Walsh!
Sophie.
Go to the little girl's room for a minute.
Jake.
But Mr. Giddies.
Sophie.
Yes, Mr. Giddies.
Jake.
Duffy, look. Listen to me, man. I want to tell you a story. So there's this guy, Walsh, you understand? He's tired of screwing his wife.
Jake,
see? So wait a second, Duffy. You're always in such a hurry. So his friend says to him, hey, why don't you do it like the Chinese do? So he says, well, how do the Chinese do it? And the guy says, well, the Chinese, first they screw a little bit, then they stop. They go and read a little Confucius, come back, screw a little bit more, then they stop again, go back and they screw a little
Jake.
Bit more. Walsh, just listen to me for a second. I really love this. Now, then they go back and they screw a little bit more, and then they go out and they contemplate the moon or something like that. It makes it more exciting. So now, the guy goes home and he starts screwing his own wife, see? So he screws her for a little bit, and then he stops, and he goes out of the room and he reads Life magazine. Then he goes back in, he starts screwing again, he says, excuse me for a minute, honey, and he goes out and he smokes a cigarette. Now his wife is getting sore as hell. He comes back in the room, he starts screwing again, he gets up to start to leave again to go look at the moon. She looks at him and says, hey, what's the matter with you? You're screwing just like a Chinaman. Jesus. That Barney.
And welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Douglas.
And this is Damien sitting uncomfortably close to one Douglas Robinson.
And this is Douglas caressing Damien's shoulder.
This is... I had a dream like this one.
I think me not being there is even better, because all I can do is imagine this is being true, as opposed to I know you guys are just making fun right now. And it's really weird. Like, I'm questioning whether we should be recording at this time. Do you guys want a minute to go
to
deal with your
off?
Business?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Alright, hold on.
It's probably going to take longer than that. It did the last time.
No.
It didn't? I remember it taking longer.
Okay, I'm done. Andrew?
Always first, Douglas. So inconsiderate.
I was trying to think of something to say, God. But I just didn't come.
You should have just said anyway. That would have been perfect. Anyways.
Right, so...
Ignoring these two idiots.
On to what we've been watching this week. Douglas, what have you been watching?
Well, to tell you the truth, Andrew, I haven't been watching much. Actually, you know what? I have been watching a little bit. I watched a TV show by the name of Field of Blood. It stars David Morrissey and is about kind of this young girl who wants to be a journalist and gets into this story about this young boy dying. Rather, getting murdered. And having to clear her cousin's name because her, like, 8-year-old cousin is blamed for the murder. And it's pretty decent. I kind of really got into David Morrissey when I watched Thorne and decided to see what else he'd done, and this is one of those shows. He really isn't in it that much, but otherwise the show is still pretty good. And of course, you know how British TV shows work, is that the better you are, the less episodes you have. So the fact that this only has 2 episodes speaks volumes, right?
That is true to a point. I've watched a lot of their miniseries that are 2-3 episodes that have not been so good. So
yeah, actually, honestly, I wouldn't put this up on a big pedestal or anything. I think it's just a decent show, not anything extremely great, but still enough for me to watch the first episode, enjoy it, and definitely want to watch the second episode. I have also watched The Newsroom, which Andrew had the temerity to actually go and cheat on us again, but not just this. This isn't really cheating because this is on a regular basis.
He started a separate family.
This is planned. This is premeditated.
You guys knew when we started that polygamy was part of my philosophy.
I didn't agree to this. You I said we would discuss it first, and you just went off, started dating other people. I cannot believe this.
Can't believe you, Andrew. But you know what? I'm not even going to get
Men
into...
Men are pigs.
I'm not going to get into your betrayal because it hurts me too much. I'm just going to talk about the show. And I watched... It's been two episodes so far, and I watched the first episode, and it was fantastic. It was everything that broadcast news should have been. Mm-hmm. It was the dialogue was snappy and to the point and great, and you know it kind of just took you in at any point in the episode. The fact that they almost filmed this like a sports movie, where towards the end of the episode or the second half of the episode, you could consider the actual news broadcast to be like the main event, you know, the sparring of the champion versus the contender, and I really enjoyed that. Then came the second episode. I did that earlier too. So then came the second episode, and I was disappointed. The second episode did not live up to the first episode. It was very flittish. I don't know. I hated the way that Mackenzie acted throughout, or I shouldn't say acted, but was throughout the episode. This foolishness about how she has to prove that what's his name, Will, is such a good man, and it wasn't his fault why they broke up, and she grabs this news anchor that she wants to get into her room about three times so that she could explain that to her. It was just retarded. I really couldn't stand that. And that was early on in the episode, and honestly, it set the tone for the rest of the episode. I felt like the rest of the episode was essentially to that level. And that made me sad because the first episode was, I mean, I would say it was nothing short of phenomenal. While
I disagree with you somewhat, Douglas, on how good the episode was, at the same time, don't you kind of expect it from an episode which is solely based around the idea of showing this is what happens when the news goes completely wrong?
No, I don't think that... But I think it was just so goofy. When I was kind of in it for the serious... Well, I don't want to say seriousness, but the... No, yeah, the seriousness. The first episode, it was so... It's so much about, you know what, we're going to make the news right. And this TV show, and I'm not talking about the news now, this actual, the newsroom TV show, was, you know, really this... serious telling of what was happening, and so it felt to me like a serious show along the lines, perhaps not at the level of A Wire, but a similar type of show to The Wire. And then the second episode became more along the lines of Johnny Bravo. It became a different show, and the level of the ditziness and all of these, you know, things that I didn't see in the first episode and didn't think that I would ever see came out, and it was not good. But to move on, I think we're talking about this too long. I'm going to watch a third episode and hope, above all hopes, that I get another episode one. But the last thing that I watched was another British TV show by the name of 5 Days. This TV show is about, it's a cop show. Well, kind of. It's about an investigation, and the name 5 Days really refers to exactly what it is. I think it has, I'm not sure how many seasons it has. I know it has at least 2 right now. And each has 5 episodes because each episode examines kind of what happened on one important day to whatever investigation that they're working on. So, hence the name. And the, at least the season that I'm watching, deals with a woman being, well, at least it looks like she's kidnapped, and then, but it's a weird kidnapping because she stops on the middle of the road and gets out of her car where she leaves her 2 children, and a truck passes her and then she's gone. And so the children are left alone, and then they start to try and kind of, you know, walk home or something because, shit, they're in the middle of a highway and nobody's going to help them. And then it looks like they get kidnapped too. So it's this big, yeah, it's this big kidnapping scenario.
Is this a drama? Sounds like a joke.
It does, doesn't it? But it is a drama. And the main reason why I watched it was because it shares cast members of The Inside Man. So I guess I had to. And actually, I'm not disappointed. I haven't seen the guy yet that's from The Inside Man, but I'm assured that he's coming. And it's very good. It's not ditzy like The Newsroom. And it engaged me the whole way through the episode, and so I really enjoyed that. And I hope, you know, for this to be maybe another Luther or something like that. But that's all I watched this week.
Damien, what have you been watching?
I was furiously trying to see if there was anything I missed that was on the list, but Douglas's impeccable Wi-Fi thwarted all of those plans.
You could have used the 3G. The 3G is actually pretty fast.
You keep telling that to yourself.
No, it's pretty decent.
So last week, kind of in passing, I said that everyone should watch the FP. That is when I only saw the movie once. And I realized that the movie was pretty good. I just didn't realize how good the movie was.
By the way, just a quick reminder. Mm-hmm. Last week, there was no last week.
All right.
And that's why I was going to say, oh, I only watched 5 days. And then I realized, wait a second. I can talk about the other 2 shows as if they were this week.
All right.
This is what happens when podcasts get lost in the void.
All right. So I'm going to pretend that no one... All right. So this week, I saw the best movie to come out last year. The FP. Now, the FP is about a war between 2 rival gangs over Fraser Park, the FP. And you would think, you know, this movie sounds very formulaic, and it is. But there is something that is special about this movie. It's called Beat Beat Revelations.
What?
DDR, sir. It's DDR.
Beat Beat
Revelations.
Revelations.
Is that what they call it in the movie?
Yes.
My God.
Now, Andrew spoke about this movie the last podcast, but what Andrew could not and did not tell you is how great this movie is. Now, this movie rivals Airborne. It rivals The Big Hit. It is in that echelon of movies that are so bad, they have circled around and become amazing. Now, there is so many things that I'd like to tell people about this movie, but we only have so much time. So let me condense it for you. The main character's name is Jethro, which is amazing. His brother, which dies from Dance Dance Revolution at the start of the movie, his name is Beatro. The only Asian...
Jethro and Detro?
Yes. The only Asian in the movie is called KCDC and does not dance at any point. But he has...
I love how they have a hype man. Who is this Asian guy you're talking about? But no other crew has a hype man.
Right. Now, what you need to know is that the Asian guy has a mic with him at all times. Alright? The mic is not connected to anything. But whenever he uses the mic, you hear the reverb and the loudness as if it was connected to a speaker. He does it about 10 times in the movie, and every time he does it, it is amazing. There is a shaman in the movie, which is fantastic. There is a training montage, which beats every other. In fact, as of today, people can take training montages out of their movies. You'll never be able to top what has been done in the FP. They went about this movie so well that they put in the worst, Douglas, and when I say the worst love story of all time, it is not an exaggeration. This love story that they've put into this movie is horrendous. But it is done on purpose, and it is hilarious every single time. I don't know who these guys are.
Damien.
But this is the best. Yes, Andrew.
Can I suggest a counter to the worst love story in the world, just since you bring it up?
Sure.
Have you ever seen the 90s movie Double Dragon?
Yes.
I would like to think that movie beats out in worst love story put into a
Andrew. What you're not understanding? Double Dragon is a travesty, probably a war crime, and people are going to go to prison for that movie because it is bad, but it is not self-aware. That movie doesn't know that it's bad. It is just bad. This movie knows. They know right from the get-go. When his brother dies in Beat Revelation,
he gets 187. It is not, he doesn't die.
It is, no, he does die. But it is not explained how or why he dies. How did losing this match kill him? Right? But that is not relevant information. All you need to know going into this movie is that this movie is about saving ducks. It's about the ducks, guys. This movie is great. They keep up such a high level of almshouse that this is impeccable. Down to the very last shot of the end credits, they're still thinking of ways to make this movie just a little bit worse. And by that token, just a little bit better.
I wonder how many of our listeners understand when you say almshouse.
I don't care how many of them understand. That is the only way to describe this movie. It levels off almshouse. It is fantastic. All right? I've seen this movie in the last week about 7 times. That is how, like, every time I watch this movie, there is something else for me to laugh at. It is great. This movie is so good. And when we saw the trailer, we were all worried, because anybody can make a trailer like that. But yeah, they pulled it off. I'm only sad that the FP can't be my top movie of this year because it came out last year. That's my only regret, that we didn't get to see this movie last year.
You could just retroactively call it the best movie of last year and just...
No, but then I'd have to argue with myself over Senna, and there's no way this movie beats Senna. It might come second. Although, to say that it is better than Take Shelter, it's probably blasphemous. But I will have to have that discussion because I saw it this year. the other movie that I watched is Salmon Fish in the Yemen, which is Emily Blunt and what's his face?
Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor vehicle. It is a romantic comedy, of course it is, about a sheikh that wants to start the salmon fishing in Yemen, and it, as preposterous as that sounds, they make it very interesting, and Emily Blunt and Ewan McGregor, the chemistry that they have in this movie is ridiculous. You kind of want to see them in more movies, playing the same characters. They're just so much fun to watch them play off each other, and the story that they tell is pretty interesting. There was a point in the movie, though, where they start discussing how they're going to get the dam built, and they start talking about, you know, the people who constructed this dam in China, and, you know, the world's biggest personal aircraft carrier. And he was saying all these things kind of one after the other, and I realized after he was finished with his lines that I knew exactly what he was talking about, which means any hope I have of pretending that I wasn't a nerd is kind of done, because he plays a nerd in this movie, and that is why he has those lines. I know exactly what he's talking about, which is kind of sad, but I kind of don't care. It's kind of too late.
Didn't that hope go far away once you started doing a podcast, Damien?
Yeah, kind
of. Right.
So if you guys get a chance to watch Salmon Fish in the Yemen, it's nothing special, but it is well done. Emily Blunt she's still pretty. And Ewan McGregor and her, the chemistry is off the charts, and the story at the end is everything works out. Of course, it's a romantic comedy. Of course, everything works out.
Is there an Elmo versus Cookie Monster dialogue conversation?
No, there is not.
Don't want to see it then.
Fair enough. Speaking of romantic comedies, I also saw Wanderlust.
You watched all of it now?
Me and Douglas, we saw the first couple of minutes one night when I was deliberately being late for work. And no, I finally got to see the rest of the movie. And it is better than it has any right to be, especially because, what's her name?
Jennifer Aniston, right?
Is in it. And she, much like Katherine Heigl, is a red flag when it comes to movies.
Wait, stop. I really should not interrupt you. However, I just wanted to let you know that navigating the newsroom is officially in the search engine, whatever, of Pocket Cast. So, Andrew, well done, you fucking cheater.
dirty bastard. Yep, it's up on all the feeds now. It's in iTunes and such.
Andrew, I want a divorce. And I want to keep custody of the Thump podcast.
Nope, you can't have it.
We let a judge decide, you son of a bitch.
Which judge do we go to for this? Is there a podcast in court?
Yes, and I think it's headed by Devin Farachi.
Judge John Hodgman, we could go to him.
I'll tweet him and see what he says.
He has a podcast called George John Hodgman.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right, Wanderlust. So, these two guys, they're having some financial issues in New York, and they move to Atlanta to kind of start over, and on their way, they stop by this commune, and they fall in love with the commune. Except one falls more in love with the commune than the other, and it leads to tension, of course, in Act 2, and everything is resolved in Act 3. That is not the important part. What is important is that this movie stays funny from start until the end. There's a guy in the commune that he's been in the commune since about 1994, And so all of his references to technology and pop culture come straight out of 94, to the point where something happens towards the end and he says, anyone would have done what I did for that amount of money. I mean, I could retire with $11,000. Which is amazing.
$11,000 wasn't that much in 94 either, though.
It doesn't matter. That is where he is. Which is fantastic.
But aren't both Key and Peele in that movie?
Yes, both Key and Peele are in the movie.
Man, that's all I need.
Key is only in that scene that we saw together.
Uh-huh.
Peele stays in the movie.
Awesome.
And it gets progressively more ridiculous. But the end of it is pretty satisfying. It's fun. Jennifer Aniston comes in bad movies. Everybody knows that. Paul Rudd
despite does it all
me,
the time.
Despite me liking time. Paul Rudd, I have to admit.
You see, that's the thing about Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd is always funny. He's just also always in bad movies.
He comes in a lot of bad movies. And I guess the two negatives negated themselves this time. Gave me a positive movie. And it was pretty fun.
Did you guys get to see Our Idiot Brother?
No.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of that, Damian?
Yeah, I thought it was mediocre.
Alright.
Especially the end. The end was... I mean... Like, the sisters were so... they were so bitchy that it was kind of fun to watch this retard play off his sisters. But then towards the end, everything... Like, you saw where they were leading you. It felt formulaic. It felt like, okay, we have to do this because we already started down this road. And I thought that it could have been better, but they made some decisions there that just weren't as funny. Speaking of bad movies, guys, I have to make an announcement. I am refusing to watch any movie with Sam Worthington going forward. He is now the male Katherine Heigl. He's a beacon, and that beacon signals where bad movies come from.
So are you saying you're not interested in an Avatar 2, 3, and 4, as James Cameron is planning to do for the next decade?
Sadly, I will have to pass. I watch Man on a Ledge. Now, guys, Man on a Ledge is about a crooked cop who escapes prison, and he has gone up on a roof and is threatening to jump off the roof. But he's doing this to get attention so that his brother can go in and steal back the thing that got him in prison in the first place. Now, I know that description sounds pretty bad. And that is because the movie
Where do I put my $10? Where do I put it?
But what you don't understand is just how bad they made this movie. Sam Worthington cannot act. People might think he can, but they are incorrect. He does not emote well. He's not Keanu Reeves bad, but he's also not fun to watch like Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves seems puzzled all the time, so you get a kick out of watching him kind of decipher what emotion he's supposed to generate and failing miserably at it. Sam Worthington, first of all, he has an accent that has never been heard by anybody ever, which is off-putting. And then he doesn't act a lot. He just stares at the screen, and it's not fun. It's not fun to watch him on screen. Elizabeth Banks, she's in the movie. She plays a police officer, which is hilarious. She does not look or act or look like a police officer. There's actors in this movie that I like, and they try their best to negate how horrendous Worthington is, but they cannot because he gets too much screen time. The movie is formulaic. The acting especially from Worthington, is bad. And the story that is told is so stupid that it is like it hurts your brain when you try and piece all the nonsense that came together. But I remember a line from the movie which is so bad that it kind of stuck in my mind. They're planning some kind of heist and they have to get this girl to shimmy down a vent. So of course she's changing into a wetsuit. So she's in her bra and panties, of course. And the gentleman turns to her and says, "You're a moving piece of art." That movie's bad.
Damien, wasn't Sam Worthington in that good movie, Animal Kingdom? Or was that just like a ton of other Australians?
Other Australians.
He wasn't really in
No,
that
he
movie,
was not
he?
In that movie.
I didn't think so.
Not even for a second. He...
The guy in Warrior was in that movie, but I thought Sam Worthington was in.
What Sam Worthington was in is Wrath of the Titans. And Terminator Salvation. And Avatar. And this shitty movie. And every other movie is going to be in, which is also going to be bad.
Something tells me you like him a lot right now, because you know so many of his movies.
And we need to keep him out of... If online petitions worked, I'd start one right now. To get him... He should just do movies with Katherine Heigl so that I'll never have to see his face again.
And they can have Nick Cage as the sidekick?
No, Nick Cage can come in other movies. Because that man is crazy. And from time to time, his craziness pays off. Not all the time. Every 1 out of 10. You'll get it right. And of course, Breaking Bad is coming back, and so I've not been watching any of it. Instead, I've been watching the FP over and over and over. So, Andrew, what have you been watching?
Well, I guess it's best to start saying I've been watching a lot of Breaking Bad, because I felt like rewatching the show. I'm right now like 3/4 through season 2, and yeah, show is still awesome. In case we needed a reminder,
I heard that from a lot of people. I heard that that show is kind of okay.
Well, I'm giving you the official announcement now, because I'm telling you, and you trust me, right? You trust my judgment.
With my life,
right? Also, this week I got around to watching The Amazing Spider-Man, the latest film from Mark Webb, the Spider-Man reboot, and I put it to the internet to stop bitching and moaning, because this movie is awesome, and I'm willing to even go so far as to say it's better than all the other Spider-Man movies that Raimi did.
That's
however
not a,
long ago.
That's not a high bar.
I know it's not that high a bar, but I feel people are getting in this mode of just automatically dismissing it because, oh, Spider-Man was just 10 years ago. Like, put that
you
out of your
mind. You mean
the
internet is being the internet?
The internet is being the internet, yes.
Guess what? They're going to bitch when Superman comes back. They bitched about the Hulk being in the Avengers. But the internet is wrong a lot of the times. Sometimes they're right. A lot of times. In fact, most times I'd say the internet is wrong.
I really love the addition of Emma Stone and Dennis Leary in this film, because like there are so few scenes where they're actually together, but I think there are probably two where they actually get to interact fully.
Can you tell me? It doesn't seem so from the trailer, but do they have JJ in that movie?
JJ? No. Oh, yeah. No, he's not in the movie at all.
What's his last name again? JJ something.
It's Jameson. Jonah Jameson.
Right. Yeah.
He never leaves high school in this movie. He hasn't gone past high school in this movie, so you never see him at the newspaper kind of deal.
Oh, okay. I didn't catch that, but all right, that makes sense.
As those trailers look fun as shit.
Yeah,
I can't wait to watch it.
It's
definitely a later this week watch for me.
Yeah, that movie's kind of good. I really like it a lot. Part of me wants to think of it as a sort of part 4, because if you ignore the first, like, 20 minutes of the origin story of him becoming Spider-Man, which they have to get around to, and all of the... Yeah.
The Asphalt movie didn't do that.
Well, that's because...
This one is kind of different, because this is not emo Spider-Man.
But even emo Spider-Man wasn't emo Spider-Man until Spider-Man 3.
No, he was from the very get-go. Moping around. That you have spider powers. Why are you miserable? Nobody knows who you should be, the happiest person on the planet.
And while I don't think it shrugs off 100% of that emo, like, loner character that Spider-Man and Peter Parker are, it's completely different from Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. So I'm pretty sure at least you, Damian, will love it exponentially more.
Bitch ass nigga.
Also this week I got around to watching Brave, the newest Pixar movie.
Tell me that it's good. The internet doesn't want me to know. The internet keeps saying nonsense.
By the way, Brave, did anybody know that I was actually, so this is funny, I think I was either watching Bloomberg or listening to BBC
that
News.
Pixar made it, of course I knew that.
Yeah. But did you know that the country of Scotland actually invested money into this movie so that people would go to Scotland?
Why not?
China. I want to go to Scotland. I want to go to Scotland. No,
they do. They legitimately do. Why wouldn't Scotland do it? What does Scotland have? Guinness?
Scotland doesn't have Guinness.
Shitty
That's
football.
Ireland.
Oh, then, alright, so all they have is shitty football. And a terrible accent. Haggis.
They've got skirts, okay?
It's called
They've
kilts.
Got men wearing skirts.
The lot. Nessie.
Nessie, yes.
Right, so Brave. Brave.
I'm Brave. I know Brave.
This movie is really, really good. It's not the best Pixar movie ever released.
Sean
and
Connery.
I really hate the fact that the entire of the internet is railing on this movie just because it's not the best Pixar movie. And I think that's like a really horrendous description.
You know what, though, Andrew?
That's Pixar's fault.
You know what, though, Andrew? I agree with Damian. It's Pixar's fault because of the high quality of stuff that they've done. But I'm actually surprised at you. Because you above all people shouldn't have a problem with that argument, or shouldn't be against that argument, seeing as you used that same argument against Cars. Mm-hmm. I do believe that you came out when Cars first was released and said, this movie is rubbish, for the same exact reason. Andrew, Cars is not really that bad a movie.
Actually, the second one is.
I don't know about the second one. I didn't watch
that one. Wait, one second,
but
guys.
Cars is just
second.
Not as good as the rest of the...
Douglas?
The portfolio.
Maybe you can do me a favor and bring up the recording of where I said it like that, but I believe I've been very firm on the point that Cars is a shitty movie, full stop.
Yes, and what I'm saying is that the only reason you're saying it's a shitty movie is because it's not as good as the rest of them, but it still is a pretty okay movie. Just the same way as you are arguing for
Andrew
Brave.
Still thinks that Wall-E is the best Pixar
movie.
Ah,
yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
Which is the dumbest thing anyone can say
God.
At this point.
People still like that movie.
People are...
All right, listeners,
when you're
listeners
wrong,
out
you know,
there...
You have to back up that point. You can't just flip-flop, you're not Mitt Romney. You have to stick with being wrong.
You know what, though? I want to say one more thing before we move on to Andrew actually talking about Brave again.
Mm-hmm.
Is that... So Andrew just categorically stated, right, that Cars is a shitty movie. Did you not? Did you just say that, Andrew?
Yes.
I believe I did.
Okay, I have one question for you. Why did you buy the Blu-ray for Cars?
I told you this when I bought it. I wanted Monsters, Inc. and Up... And there was a deal that if I took Cars with it, everything overall got cheaper. So I said, sure, let me buy Cars and give it a second chance. And I can maybe give it to my cousin if I don't like it. But she doesn't have a Blu-ray player, so I had to keep it.
So essentially what you're saying is that you bought a movie that you believe to be shitty.
Yes.
I'm supposed to believe that?
No, that's the type of logic that is defensible. Douglas, how did that still happen? I'm an inch from your head. It's ridiculous.
We're having some technical issues with the headphones. Sorry, Andrew. Please punch continue.
Right, so you said Brave is the new Scottish national anthem and favorite movie.
I'm still not sure how my Cars argument gets negative.
Guys, ignoring Cars. Brave is a great movie. How great is Brave?
Brave is a pretty great movie. It is, like, in my mind, a notch above.
Is it better than Tangled?
Sorry?
Is it better than Tangled?
Yes.
Oh, well, then it has to be. Okay. Come on.
Okay,
I like
good.
Tangled.
It's good. I'm on board.
Okay,
I think that's how we should talk about movies from now on. None of this foolishness about the list. Mm-hmm. None of this, just you know, have a benchmark.
Right.
Is it better than Tangled? Yes. Is it better than that's all I have.
Although
to
some movies will refuse to fall into that formula.
like Melancholia.
Yes. And Sound of Noise.
My God. I
yes, why is that movie so bad?
That movie was so bad. La 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 la.
This week in trailers, the first trailer I want to talk about is for this film by the name of Compliance.
This is Officer Daniels with the police department. I have a woman here saying one of your employees took money out of her purse.
You have a young lady, works at the register, about 19 years old, blonde.
Becky, come with me.
I swear I didn't take anything. I don't know what's going on here. I'm just trying to do my job.
Calm down for me, okay? You don't realize what kind of trouble you're in. We need to find the money, but I'll need your help till I can get down there. We really have two choices here.
He's saying he will have to take you to jail.
Or what we could do is have you strip search her right now.
I could strip search you here.
No. No.
Since Damon is the one who always follows anyone's orders over the phone, because you work at a front desk, What did you think of this trailer?
The trailer has that chick from Don't Trust the Bitch in Apartment 23, which shouldn't help, but does, because I watch that show and kind of sucker for watching people that I know. I guess everyone does that. It looks interesting. The trailer wasn't very good, but It did, you know, pique my interest. It looked, especially when he said that, you know, you're going to need to strip search her right now, and there's some push and pull, and there's some weird things happening in the trailer, which is good, because they don't really tell you exactly what is going to happen. They don't spell out everything, it's not one of the trailers that we see and we go, all right, this trailer is awesome, so I'm definitely on board. We're probably going to forget this movie, though, guys. It seems like one of those where we'll talk about the trailer now, and unless one of us forces the rest of us to watch this movie, Douglas picks it or you pick it, I'm probably never going to remember this movie. Then it's one of those trailers that we'll talk about now and never talk about again. That's part of the reason I've been listening to a lot of our old podcasts, just to hear what we thought about things beforehand and how we reviewed certain movies. And it's fun. Guys, when we started out this podcast, we didn't have a lot of sense. And 2-3 years later, turns out we're still pretty bad at this.
Yes, we are.
We haven't changed a lot. We've changed a couple segments.
We took out the news. I think that's about it. And we stopped doing trivia, a retrospective foolishness. Right. I think removing the trivia was to the detriment of the podcast.
Yes, the trivia was pretty good. We're so bad. So bad. So this, as I'm speaking, I am forgetting what is happening in Israel.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, I had to look, when Andrew said compliance, I had to go back to the YouTube page and look down and try and remind myself which one this was. But honestly, this trailer, I think this is a really good trailer for me. And please, no jokes about the soundtrack. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What was the band playing in the background?
I don't know. Actually, honestly, I didn't even really hear the music because you guys kept talking, so I don't know what the music sounds like. But this trailer, I think, is pretty decent, or I am intrigued, mainly because I have a bit of a theory of what's happening in the trailer, but I really don't know what's going on in this movie, and I can't move from what this trailer shows me to what I think this movie is going to be about. And they did that while showing me, you know, bits and pieces of scenes that looked fairly interesting. So, all in all, I would say I'm pretty positive on this trailer. I think this is a decent trailer. Well, for me, it's a decent trailer for me. I don't know how, like, the mass market would take it. I think more than likely a lot of people won't like this trailer. But I personally, I'm intrigued. I'm interested in seeing what this movie is about. And if this movie came out tomorrow, I'd probably watch it. But I agree with Damien. I probably won't remember this movie by the time it does.
It's 4 or 5 months from now.
Yeah.
And we'll have no idea.
We'll see the poster and we'll think to ourselves, what is that? That looks like stupidness. We'll watch it.
This movie looks fantastic. I can't wait to see this trailer. Actually, one movie kind of reminds me of, and I really shouldn't say this because it's probably not in a good way, is Phone Booth. I don't know what you guys thought about that movie.
Oh, I love Phone Booth. Would you like to know why I love Phone Booth?
Because I know why you love Phone Booth.
You're going to hell.
So, I watched Phone Booth when I was still going to college. And at that time, I was fairly friendly with a man by the name of Bradley Levine. And
Adam Levine's brother?
Yes. How did you know?
It just made sense.
He came over to my house. And we sat down and we watched this movie. And we realized from about a half a minute in that this movie was really bad.
So you guys got hammered.
No, it wasn't that bad, but we decided, you know, we're just going to make fun of this movie the whole way through, and guess what, I had fun. I thought that was the best movie ever after that.
It's a pretty good way to watch movies.
So yeah, yeah. Andrew, you how is that a good comparison?
Right, I need him to... I mean, I don't like doing this, asking for Andrew logic, because it's always problematic. But please explain to me how you take a movie like Phone Booth and parlay that suckage into liking a trailer like Compliance. Can you walk me through the steps, please?
Okay, the thing about Phone Booth, and I think it's the biggest problem with Phone Booth, is that it tried to take a really small idea and make it ridiculously grand. If you remember parts of Phone Booth, it kept getting bigger and bigger as the movie went along as to what this person on the phone could do while Colin Farrell was in the booth. Now, with this movie, it seems like the complete opposite. It seems like what I always look for and always love in all of these smaller indie movies, which is taking a very concentrated idea and keeping it very small and very focused. The idea being that if someone is on the phone and someone says something as simple as, I'm a police officer, you have to now strip search this woman, the person on the other end of the phone is going to be so stupid that they're going to do any and everything I say that they need to do. People aren't going to question my authority, even though they rightly should. And I am very interested to see this movie and how it executes on that idea. We'll probably say that it was obvious and on the nose and whatever, but I'm still very interested based on this trailer.
Yeah, actually, I had I had kind of a similar, I don't want to say worry about this trailer, but like a question as to say, I'm sure that they've left out the bits where there is some sort of verification or some sort of ID number said to say that I am whoever I say I am and I have the authority to tell you to do whatever I tell you to do. But that, to me, that was a little bit weird. I just randomly phone you from wherever the hell I am and tell you to strip search this lady. And you're like, you know what? That makes sense.
Sounds like a plan, guys.
Yeah.
You know, normally I wouldn't do this, but...
The policeman said I must do it. So
yeah, there you go. But honestly, I guess all three of us are pretty much pro for this trailer. Andrew, a little bit more than the rest of us.
Yep.
Almost irrationally so, you might say. But I guess, you know, it's Thump certified, and we can now move on to the second trailer.
The Thump seal of approval.
Why stop now?
Yes. Mark Zuckerberg is in a new movie.
Oh, wow. Actually, I think it was Michael Cera. Was it Michael Cera?
No, it was Jesse Eisenberg. What are you talking about?
Hmm. Okay, I'll leave it alone.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wait. Oh, I guess you're making a joke. I'm sorry. I didn't understand it. My feeble mind.
Wow.
Checking in?
We got a problem here.
I don't qualify for detox rehab. But if I get high and can produce 30 urine...
So let's do it then. I will pay for it. It'll be my treat.
Okay.
I look like the Unabomber.
You knock on the door, and you ask for sprinkle.
What up? Hey.
Then you give him the money, and then you get out of there, all right?
Hold up. What are you, a vending machine? You're a drug dealer.
It's re-uptown, Holmes.
I'll go with you. How does that sound?
Hell yeah, that's cool.
You better know that Spanish.
But this trailer is, I think, equal parts good and equal parts bad.
Tracy Morgan.
In the sense that the trailer itself is pretty decent. The trailer is funny.
Mm-hmm.
It shows me people that I like.
Yes.
I like Jesse Eisenberg.
Yes.
Despite the fact that I really don't like Tracy Morgan, I like Tracy Morgan in 30 Rock.
Yeah.
And that's about all that I see him in lately. So I guess I kind of like Tracy Morgan.
Mm. You're forgetting one very big actress.
Who am I forgetting?
Does he know her name? The mother in the trailer. Do you know who it was?
Oh, yeah. Melissa Leo. Yes. Come on.
Okay.
It told me, it said, and Melissa Leo, Academy Award winner, or whatever it was. yeah, Melissa Leo is, of course, also a very good actress. We have seen her in various movies. But the thing about this trailer, and the thing about all trailers like this that I always question, is the movie really that funny?
Guys, you can't trust Tracy Morgan. Can't we?
Because, no. You know, you see trailers like this all the time, and you look at it and you say to yourself, you know what? I think they blew the load on the trailer. It was just a trailer load of laughs, and that's about all they've got.
Can we stop using the word trailer load?
Trailer load? No, trailer load.
I hate
but...
you so much. So much.
Oh, I think I'm going to put that in the podcast this week. Just have that song play.
Fucking ass. Can I quit this podcast?
But seriously though, guys, I'm not sure where I lie on this trailer. If I take it at face value, I like it. It's funny. It kind of reminds me of The Girl Next Door, which is a movie that I absolutely adore. And to this day, if it's on TV, I will watch it the whole way through. But I'm always going to have that question in the back of my head. Is this trailer really showing me how, or is it really showing me the movie? Is me like, will me liking this trailer equate to me liking this movie? And honestly, for a lot of comedies like this, the answer is no. So, I'll say, I don't want to give it a bad, like an irrationally bad judgment. But I say this, I like the trailer, but they need to impress me a little bit more before I actually say that I'm going to watch this movie.
actually, the number one reason why I'm interested in this movie and is to do with the fact that I don't know if I'm the only one who saw this, but in this trailer, Tracy Morgan, it's the first time I'm seeing him in anything in which he doesn't seem to be playing an idiot.
Well, no, it looks like he plays an idiot when he's trying to be Mr. Big Bad Drug Dealer. But I noticed, which I'm sure is a scene, or one of the scenes that you're talking about, like, for example, in the bar when he's talking to Jesse Eisenberg and he doesn't quite sound like he doesn't know how to speak, you know? So, yeah, that's true.
Damien?
Yeah, it looks fun. Watching Melissa Leo in a comedy cannot be a bad thing. She's one of the finest actresses that we have, and she does look like she's having a good time in this trailer. That was definitely a plus. I like Mark Zuckerberg. I've liked most of his movies. They need to expedite Zombieland 2. It's taking too long. I don't know what's happening. And, of course, Tracy Morgan. He's terrific in 30 Rock. He has not been terrific in much else, but that's not really his fault because he doesn't really do much else. It's mostly 30 Rock. There was a terrible movie that he did with Kev Smith. And
he also had his own show for like a half a season.
Right, but that
what show,
that
was, show that? Was
horrible. Really, it was. I think it was literally called the Tracy Morgan Show, and it was clearly the Cosby Show Junior. Except it was like, you know, it wasn't Theo, it wasn't Olivia, it wasn't any of those like children. It was more along the lines of what's her name, the one that married Lenny Kravitz, Denise. You know, it was
no idea.
Okay, but
I'm guessing the chick who was in High Fidelity, right?
Lisa Bonet, yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like a bad child of a child gone wrong from the Cosby Show, and it didn't work.
Bringing up the Cosby Show, I have a question. Do you guys remember the CBS like second Cosby Show that happened?
Yes, sir, with Doug E. Doug.
Yep.
Was that show good? I can't remember.
Have you lost your mind?
I'm
have
sure,
you lost your
mind? Listen.
The Cosby Show wasn't even that good.
Whoa, there.
Let's just point out the obvious. We may like the Cosby Show.
I disagree. And I disagree so forcefully that I look at the levels and realize that Andrew's probably not going to be able to use that section. But Damien,
yes.
The Cosby Show is a classic. And you, Douglas, and any rational person can never tell me anything different.
Okay? Fine.
But the second Cosby Show was bad. However, it suffered, or perhaps I should say I suffered, from this thing named nostalgia goggles, whereby if it's named the Cosby Show, it can't be bad. And
I understand,
so,
and that's why
so,
I'm not arguing with you. Because I know that is what is coloring your judgment.
So I need to kill Damien, and Douglas is just thinking of child memories. Okay, alright.
Yes.
Moving on, since I think we're kind of done with...
Just because you want something to be good.
Right.
Can't force it to be good, son.
Look, I just remember watching that second Cosby Show and seeing Dougie Doug and Madeline Kahn, who I love, and I don't remember. I remember enjoying it, but it was so long ago that I don't trust that memory. Like, I was a child. How old was I? I don't remember. And I would have liked anything with Cosby in it. And I was just curious. Should probably go and see if I can find an episode on YouTube and watch it. Enjoy your life with prominence and position, but the pressures at the office and his social ad engagements and his selfish wife's fanatical ambition, he turned him to the booze and he got mixed up with a floozy, and she led him to a life of indecision. The floozy made him spend his dough, she left him lying on skid row, a drunken lag at some Salvation Army mission. It's such a shame.
thank you. You're gonna be fine.
She's gone.
What happened to you?
Nothing.
Do you want to tell us about it?
I think I can handle this part myself.
According to the statement, the light was green when the bus passed through the intersection?
Yes.
So you're saying she walked against the light?
I know you feel a sense of responsibility about what happened, but you can't not do
this. This week, I wanted us to sit around and talk about the film Margaret, which is a movie I heard about last year. I saw a trailer for it, and I was very interested in it. And I got to hear a lot of the story of the fact that this movie was made like in 2008, 2009, and it's just been on a shelf waiting to be released. Like, people just wouldn't release it. But all of the critics all around had been praising this movie for years in festival after festival, and it's finally hit DVD on Blu-ray. And I wanted us to get a chance to watch it and talk about it. For those of you who don't know what this movie is about...
DVD on Blu-ray.
Yes, DVD on Blu-ray.
Didn't I say DVD and?
No, you didn't. But anyway, sorry, keep going. You were talking.
Why do you listen to us?
Because my headphones are working.
But you should know to ignore us.
It's difficult. I can't do so many things at once.
We are stupid people.
We're
just mean people.
For those of you who don't know what this movie is about, it is about Anna Paquin's character of Lisa, who witnesses a tragic accident in which a bus driver runs over a woman and kills her. She had a part to play in the accident, and I guess it's sort of about her dealing with what happened and trying to figure out how to feel about this and such and such. First question around the table is, which version of the movie did you guys watch? Because there's a theatrical cut of
2.5 hours,
and there's an extended cut of like 3 hours and a little bit.
All right, so I watched the hour version of this movie.
Andrew, which one do you watch?
I actually watched both.
Oh, wow, well done.
Shit.
But actually, I just wanted to ask you a question, because you described the movie a while ago as, well, whatever the fuck you described it as. But
are you sure that's the same
movie?
I
don't think I watched the same movie that you watched, because I think I watched a sci-fi movie. about time travel, and how young actors teleported to 2011 to do a really bad movie. That's not the same movie that you watched?
I don't think so. I didn't see any time machine.
I'm pretty sure there was one.
There wasn't any DeLorean.
Matt Damon doesn't look that old that young anymore. And actually, well, okay, this is, I know this is like stupid, but just humor me. Was I the only one who noticed that, well, Damon maybe hasn't gotten this far, because apparently he only watched about an hour. But there's a scene where Matt Damon is riding a bicycle, and then Anna Paquin flirts her way into getting onto the seat of that bicycle, and he's wearing his jacket. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the same exact jacket that he wore in the first Bourne movie.
Wow.
Looks just the same. But, so Andrew, how did you like this movie?
A lot.
I found this movie
twice.
Very problematic. And let me explain
and
to you,
you
about
it twice?
My twice. Right, because the thing about this, I watched the 2.5 hour version last night. And when I finished watching it, I went, oh shit, I'm screwed. Damon and Douglas are going to ruin me, because this movie has so many problems. And then I said, you know what, today I ran back from when I saw Spider-Man, and I sat down and I watched a 3-hour version, hoping that this was a Ridley Scott-esque problem, in that the problem wasn't the fact that the movie was really bad. The problem was that there was a half an hour on the editing floor which ruined everything due to some studio issue or whatever, which is why it ended up being shelved for 4 years before we even got to see it. And I sat through the 3-hour version, and it is better, but there are still a lot of issues in the movie. Like, I'll ask you this question, Douglas, and I'm sure Damon won't mind. At the end of the movie, Anna Paquin walks up to Matt Damon and says, did you believe that she actually... Because they don't...
they don't tell you anything at all. I mean, I honestly... here's what I took it as. I mean, there were, I guess, two sides to the story of my thinking. One was, I didn't even see any sort of inkling to the fact that she could have possibly been... So, she's probably just being a horrible teenager who just says shit and knows that Matthew Broderick is going to go... Not Matthew Broderick. Matt Damon is going to go... But the second side of my mind went, you know what? Because she's been screwing around so many people. And for some reason, she thought it was okay to say to her teacher, besides some other very adult-looking person who would probably report him. So either way, it wasn't a good thought process.
Well, in the 3-hour version... you know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
But my point is, throughout this movie, there are so many, in the 2.5-hour version, there are so many moments like that where they say something without actually showing you it happening before. So you kind of have to make that leap of faith of going, I guess that story was told, we just missed out on it because they cut it out of the movie, which made the 2.5-hour version ridiculously worse than the 3-hour. At the end of the day, I still think the movie has a lot of problems, and the biggest problem that I have with this movie is that...
The pacing, yes.
When we get to that point, at around, I think, the hour mark, so Damien might have reached this part, where... Anna Paquin's character decides to finally tell the truth as to what happened in that accident. From then forward, between Anna Paquin's character and what's that girl? Emily. The best friend of the woman who died. You almost just want to punch the two of them in every scene they're in. They're either... Sorry?
Violence against women is not the way, Andrew. Right? If you're dealing with some issues that you need to work out with yourself or a therapist, but you can't take out your issues on women. Not anymore.
It's not allowed in the world, in society anymore.
We could move to Egypt. Good. Douglas, taking the intern to Egypt. Put her in our place.
Is there an IMAX in Egypt? I'll go there if there's an IMAX.
Whoa! I'm pretty sure Damon just got his ass.
I just got served, son.
Oh.
Intern, these are jokes.
Say hi, intern. This is Damon. Remember me, Damon. So yeah, this movie has a lot of problems, and for the most part, I think it's that sometimes they give us too much information, because there are some scenes in like classrooms where we're seeing, for example, most of the scenes with Matthew Broderick in what I can only assume is literature class, where they're always talking about Shakespeare. We don't need half of those scenes. There's nothing that happens in there other than us watching students argue and teachers going, look, you students are being too smart. You need to just know the answer to the book. And it doesn't add anything to the movie. There's even a history lesson that goes on, which I even question when I'm watching it. Why are there two teachers in the room? Why are there two teachers?
I had this same question in my head. I was like, really and truly, why are there two people here? It almost felt to me like it was like affirmative action, or you know, one person was a moderator, because there would always be this guy like rousing up the troops, and then the other guy being like, hey, whoa there, calm down a little bit. But also, I just wanted to, speaking of Matthew Broderick, I just wanted you to remember that the name of this movie is not Margaret. It's Marguerite.
Sure.
This movie's bad. I didn't see all of the movie, but I cannot imagine it gets very...
It doesn't.
Very good.
It doesn't get
past
better.
The point. No, we watch this movie after watching the FP.
That's so not a it's good not idea like, at all.
No. It's not like we were pumped to watch anything at all, right? We had enjoyed the FP, laughing very hard, and I said, guys, let's watch this movie. And that movie sucked all the joy out of everybody watching it. We just sat there going, why? Like, we understood what was happening. We could not understand why it was taking so long. And we could not understand how a movie about a woman getting hit by a bus was so painfully, crushingly slow and boring. Right? Why? Why is this movie so bad? It shouldn't... the reason this movie was shelved is because it is not very good. Andrew is kind of, you know, working his way around some of the issues. But the movie starts out strongly enough, right? They get into, you know, the things that the movie are about. Anna Paquin's character, this thing that happens to the lady, right? And then for the next 45 minutes, it feels like the movie hit pause. First of all, why is this movie 3 hours, Andrew?
Why is this movie longer than 10 minutes?
I enjoyed seeing young Matt Damon. That was hilarious. Because now he looks like he's aged 10 years in about 2 years.
It really
which is
does.
Tremendous. Suki.
He always either... And if you notice, he always looks like he's either a little bit chubby or a little bit too beefy for his own good. Right. It's one or the other.
Right. Something's
for
off,
me.
Though.
For me, I always like to picture Matt Damon as how he was in his cameo
Suki.
In Eurotrip.
In his cameo in Eurotrip? Oh, with the bald head?
Yeah.
And Maddie doesn't know.
Right.
We watch a lot of bad movies.
No, honestly though, I love that movie. Eurotrip? Fucking fantastic. It's a horrible movie, but it's fucking fantastic. Yes,
yes. Douglas, you need to watch FP. Put that on your to-do list.
No, I will. I mean, honestly, when you tell me that a movie is good, generally I'll know that it could be bad. Mm-hmm. But if Damien also corroborates that,
so friggin'
then, you know, I know that I have to at least think about it.
You need to get on it. Although we've been telling you that about Miller's Crossing.
But no, I know Miller's Crossing is awesome.
You refuse to watch it on principle.
Yeah, of course.
You'll be that guy.
You know what? I think that the main reason I haven't watched Miller's Crossing is perhaps that I don't have it in the proper definition.
The most deaf.
The most deaf.
We can use that freely now because he's changed his name.
What? Hold on, what?
Yeah, most deaf isn't most deaf anymore. It's like
Damita
Joe or
something.
What? I did not know this.
It doesn't matter because he's still bad. So it doesn't make a difference.
No.
Let's not get into that, right? We've had that argument lots of times. Let's not get into the
most
deaf argument.
Yaslin Bey.
Wow. I didn't. But anyways, we were talking about Margaret.
I was talking about why Margaret. Margaret. it's really bad, guys. The pacing is way, way off. I mean, we realize at our end that nothing short of this movie turning into The Matrix would save this movie. It was going absolutely nowhere. And the worst part is they weren't even developing the characters. It's not like the time was spent on, you know, why would Matt Damon have come to this decision, or what is it about Anna Paquin's life that has led her to be such a whore? None of this space was explored. It was just kind of killing time, and nothing really did. And based on what you guys have said about the ending, nothing really happens.
No, it doesn't. This movie, honestly, Damien, this movie is bad. There's no pussyfooting around it. This foolishness about Andrew saying, you know what?
But
critics
like
it. If you watch the director's cut, then things are explained, and it's not as bad. Fuck that shit.
Right, if you read the book and the adaptation of that book to a TV show.
Listen, this movie is about a girl who in trying to find out where she can find a cowboy's hat, causes someone to die. Right?
Can I just say, before we go any further, that that scene of when the woman dies is pretty amazing. Just like to put that out there.
I don't want to disagree with you, but what I will say is that perhaps the horribleness of the rest of the movie has erased my memory of that being good.
The crushing weight of suckage.
So this movie is, it as Damon says, it really goes nowhere very quickly. Actually, no, it doesn't go nowhere very quickly. It goes nowhere very slowly.
You can't see why they had to shelve this movie.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Throughout the film, I was looking at my watch and saying, "Is it finished yet? Is it finished yet? Is it finished?" And it wasn't. Anna Paquin, she lies, and then she realizes she needs to tell the truth, and then she tells the truth.
Because teenagers are known for doing it.
And then it's all about, you know, her getting friendly with Emily, who is the friend of the deceased, and trying to right that wrong. But it's not done in a way that is interesting or that engages you, that makes you want to watch the movie. And I'm not saying that this story that they have, the general story of that, couldn't work, because more than likely it could. But this movie, the way it was executed, the way, as you say, Andrew, a lot of things weren't explained in the theatrical, well, I shouldn't even call it the theatrical, the Blu-ray-cal, and
the shorter cut.
The Blu-ray cut.
It fails on every level.
No, but Andrew loves it. Right? Because
read between the lines. Andrew doesn't like it. Andrew wanted to think that the longer version could be better, but it wasn't. It all it was less bad. And Andrew doesn't want to say that. Mm. Andrew wants
because
to think that he didn't waste
5 hours.
five and a half hours. Mm-hmm. Almost 6 hours right. In a bad movie. He doesn't want to say that. So he can't.
What I will say to the positive of this movie, yes, Douglas, I will say it for you. This movie, the extended cut is just less bad. What I will say to the positive of this movie is I do feel a lot of the acting in the film is really good. Matt Damon, Anna Paquin is kind of good. I love what's his name, the lawyer. At the end of the movie, he's really awesome.
I don't know who that is. Sidney Pollack?
No, that's not Sidney Pollack.
I thought not. But okay, let me tell you why I called his name.
Because he's one of the producers.
I know who Sidney Pollack is. I didn't realize he was a producer, but I read up on this movie and knew that he had something to do with it. And the way the article spoke, it spoke as if he actually acted in the movie. And the whole way through, I was like, but I don't see Sidney Pollack anywhere. So I was hoping that perhaps he had put on some makeup, dyed his hair black, and put on some glasses and fooled me into thinking that it wasn't him. So he's just a producer then?
He's just a producer. I also like Mark Ruffalo in the couple of scenes he's in, even though those scenes are more or less useless. Kieran Culkin, once again, in a couple scenes he's in, pretty good, but once again, useless. This movie is just a bag of useless with really good acting scenes. And Damien, you don't need to finish watching it.
Oh, no. Andrew, not even for money. Look, Andrew, I don't think we were so happy and hyped after watching the FBI. And we had the time. And we sat down and we just, like, we looked at each other and we're like, We can't continue watching this. This movie is bad.
I apologize to Joel and whoever else was there.
And we had watched the women's Wimbledon final, right? Which women's tennis is a joke. And then we watched.
But they grunt very loudly.
Stop it.
It's very sexual.
Sure. You keep telling yourself that. And then we watched the FP, all hyped. And then we came to this movie and just. Wasn't good. I had no intention of watching it. Unless I'll have space space to put on better movies now, because that movie. Guys, have we picked a good movie recently? It's Sound and Noise. This nonsense. What did I pick?
Listen, I'm going to promise you this. I'm going to do some research, and the next movie I pick is going to be Korean.
Oh yeah, I picked New York Stories.
Yes, you did.
Guys, we've been watching a lot of terrible movies.
Yes, yes.
We need to right this ship.
But listen, next pick from Douglas is Korean and Revenge, okay?
That sounds fun.
Alright.
Although the clip that we've been going on, you'll probably find the one.
I know,
Korean.
The one bad one, right?
I mean, I would like to say that my last pick was fantastic, which is Jeff Who Lives at Home, but...
Have you watched that again?
Yeah. Yes,
oh,
I have.
Not again.
No.
You need really to
watch
want
it again because
I need to look at the M. Night Isms.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was actually listening to that podcast, which, by the way, Andrew, sounds horrible, but I believe that that's my fault.
Yes.
I believe a lot of things are your
fault. And I was like, whenever I listen to you talking about it, I was like, yeah, he didn't see the M. Night.
Yes.
He didn't see the
And
the,
it
the
makes
spoofness.
So much sense. So much sense. That movie's 10 times better now. Those bastards.
So yeah,
although
I guess...
they've been, the Coen brothers have been eclipsed. And
eclipsed? What do you mean?
And what's the guys who did Jeff Who Lives at Home?
Jeff Who Lives at Home
is
Duplass.
The Duplass brothers. They've been surpassed by the brothers that did the FP.
J-Tro and B-Tro.
No. There are two brothers that actually wrote and directed this movie.
No, yeah, I know the guys like J-Tro. The guys, the director's name is something like Jason Tro. Jason J-Tro is basically
something.
His name.
Right.
Let me see if I can bring it up here so I actually have the names.
Guys, can we continue talking about the FP? I want to spoil that movie so much. There's some things.
Right, the brothers who directed
L-Dubber
it is
the name of the bad guy.
The brothers who directed L-Dubber the FP L-Dubber is Brandon Trost and Jason Trost. So B-Tro and J-Tro.
The Trost brothers, yeah. Have they done anything else? Because I'm watching everything those guys. Even if it's bad, I'll put blinders on and say that
it
is
good.
Wait,
why did you say that name was Brandon what?
Trost. T-R-O-S-T. Mm-hmm. They've just done shorts, and there's a movie called Versus, which came out in last year, but I don't know it.
Okay, guys, start looking for Versus.
I like how his picture on IMDb is him with the eye patch.
Yes, I love that. That is good work.
Anyways, I guess we can say goodnight. Don't watch Margaret, even though people on the internet would like you to believe you
watch
should go
the
and
FP.
Watch it. Watch the FP. Watch it multiple times because you need to you need to learn about how we have to keep the duck population high.
Guys, we don't know bombs. We don't know bombs. There's no one to feed the ducks at the park.
Right? Thanks for listening. We should plug all our stuff. The podcast, you can find it at gmanreviews.com. You can find me on Twitter at gmanreviews. And you can find my other podcast, where I'm constantly cheating on Douglas and Damien, called Navigating the Newsroom, over at filmgeekradio.com. And you can find it on iTunes and such. Go and do that. Go rate and review it and such. It's really good.
I gave it a 0 stars. I hacked into iTunes and gave it 0 stars.
But you use Linux. You can't use iTunes.
Damn right I can't.
Yes, you can. It's called Wine.
Are you smoking crack? I think I'm going to put iTunes on my Linux to corrupt it with its trash. Absolutely not.
Douglas, if you have anything else to plug,
I have anything else to plug, I'm on Twitter. My name is DJ. I lost his name.
How's MashBits.com going?
.com and see... post that I sent up maybe 3 years ago, and you can go to the decaffeinationreport.com.
Guys, you found Higgs boson. Let's stop talking to them about Douglas nonsense. The Higgs boson. It's about time, son. Right? I just love how people are pretending like this is not like the most incredible thing that has happened in our generation. But never mind, 20 years from now, when we're flying through space at light speed, we'll look back at this. Oh, the Higgs boson. Thank God they built the collider. Oh, sweet. Sweet. Particle physics. Let's go.
Don't these scientists know all the money is in methamphetamine?
That's a reference to something. What is it a reference to? Methamphetamine. Heisenberg. What is that a reference?
And on that note, people,
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Good night and thanks for listening. This sweet art, hand on it, and the day coming out. But tell the remedy, I'm not to paint back up in a battle alone.